Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd of April, Anno Domini 2016, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Microsoft's decision to radically change the distribution and maintenance of Windows 10, put a $1.6 billion with a B dollar temporary dent in its revenue, the company said Thursday. In a filing covering the March quarter, Microsoft pointed to the revenue deferral of Windows 10, a relatively new way of accounting for the Redmond, Washington company, as a reason for the 6% year-over-year decline in revenue. That's right, $1.6 billion is only 6% of their revenue. Do the math. That ends up being, let's see, carry the one, a bucket load of cash. Revenue decreased $1.2 billion or 6%. primarily due to the impact of a net revenue deferral related to Windows 10 of $1.6 billion and an unfavorable foreign currency impact of approximately $838 million, or 4%, Microsoft's 10Q filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission stated. The $1.6 billion in Windows 10 revenue during the March quarter didn't actually vanish. It was instead deferred and will hit the bottom line over the next 2 to 4 years. Pay attention to that. It becomes important. Last year, Microsoft outlined and then released Windows 10. It also announced at that time that it had to change how it accounted for sales because of its promise that upgrades and updates for the new operating system would be free. For accounting purposes, a free upgrade requires a company to set aside some revenue from the sale of the affected software, in this case Windows 10, then recognize that revenue only when the upgrade is released. All of the revenue from the software sale is eventually recorded, but it's staggered intervals. In Windows 10 case, the intervals vary between 2 and 4 years. Microsoft has never explicitly spelled out which Windows 10 sales are recognized in 2 years, which in 3, and which in 4. Instead, the company first said that deferral length would depend on the lifetime of the supported device, then added the customer type would determine the lifespan. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 10, Microsoft defers $1.6 billion in Windows 10 revenue. And your choices are, wow, big deal, that's like 6%. Couldn't happen to a nicer company. Only defers, meh. And who the what now? So far we've got, 23 votes. And who the what now, of course, is number one, followed by only defers. And of course, we know you'll have more to say. So if you scroll down on the right, under fascinating stuff, you'll find the forums. The second forum on the list is the poll discussion. And so far, at least, the first item there is 23 April 16, Microsoft defers $1.6 billion in Windows 10 revenue. And of course, we'd like you folks to join us and discuss this. Give us a call. 585, or if you've got a question, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
It's funny to think that, oh gosh, their revenues are down 6%. That's a lot for a company.
Yeah.
But then when you work out how many
a billion dollar
well,
company.
Right.
Billions is
then
what
you work out how many billions that is and you go, "Oh my god, that's a lot."
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
The other thing is, of course, it's not lost. It's simply deferred. So what does that mean? It means that at some point they expect to make revenue from the upgrades to Windows 10. That's exactly what they said.
Yeah.
So what that tells us is at some point, either Windows 10 will no longer be free, but, Mike, before you start all calling and writing and getting y'all slavery and drooling on yourselves, Microsoft has said that Windows 10 will always be free. So, clearly, the next version of Windows, which will just be called Windows, will cost you. Mm-hmm. And upgrading from that version will cost you. And my expectation is if Microsoft says they are only deferring that money for 2 to 4 years, that means somewhere between 2 and 4 years from now, likely at the long end of that, you will be forced to upgrade. There will be a mandatory upgrade from Windows 10 to Windows, which you will have to pay for.
Just like Windows 10 now is with Windows 7 and 8.1.
Right.
That upgrade was recommended, and most people have their auto update set to automatically install recommended, and you wake up one morning and you've got Windows 10.
And they have never stated how long the shelf life of Windows 10 is going
to
be.
Well, now they're telling us 2 to 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. But before that, there was no explicit date, you know, set to that.
Right. So and folks, they did say Windows 10 would be free, but they never said anything beyond that.
No.
There is a life cycle for support.
They get you to drink the Kool-Aid, and then once you're hooked.
Well, that's exactly what they're hoping.
Oh, yeah. But I still, you know, I still question big business. You know, companies say, like, even, say, your RIT, to sit there and get this money now, because it's going to cost money to upgrade your machines, and a lot of them, are, you know, to move them over to Windows 10. Because, like anything else, the price of poker keeps going up and up and up.
Right. So if they move them now, it's free, but they're still paying because there's retraining and everything else.
It's better than Windows 8 and learning that stupid
and also
desktop.
So many add-on programs the companies use may not run well under Windows 10. Right. That all has to be tested.
Yep.
The Windows 10 mainstream support ends October 2020. That sounds like a long way away, but it's 4 years.
Yeah, it's 4 years.
It's 4 years from now. And that's when support will end, which means they stop releasing security patches and whatnot.
Yeah. And so there's your 2 to 4 year window.
Yeah, there you go.
What my big question is going to be is what do the PC vendors do? Because right now, they, you know, like Dell, you know, HP, whatever, they pay Microsoft to put Windows on the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that's a single payment for perpetual license, which we've had to create a new term. It's a perpetual license. You pay once and you're licensed forever.
Right.
Now, if Windows 10 goes to, let's say Windows 11, because we're going to call it that anyway.
Yeah, right.
If that goes to an annual subscription, does that mean that Dell pays for the first year and then the customer has to pay?
Or does Dell pay for the first
3 months?
As a friend of mine says, hear me now, remember
as
me
I
later.
Always say, here. Right. Hear me now, remember me later.
Right. What'll happen is you buy a new PC and you open it up and the first thing it says is register.
Right.
And you put in your name and your address and your credit card number and everything else. And then Microsoft will activate the copy of Windows that's on there.
Right. Yeah, because it's no longer Dell's registered copy.
Right.
It's now yours. You're taking on ownership.
And how much?
No,
extra?
You're taking on the lease.
The lease.
Well, yeah, but
you never own the operating system.
Well, you own
system.
That PC, and any other software tied to it is under your.
Is under yeah under
you're
your
responsible
name.
For it.
Licensed
right.
to
well,
you.
It's just
for
like
years.
Don't own it.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's just like say even a virus program that Dell might put on it. You know, they might include it and give you 30 days. After that. You're on your own. You got to pay for it. You own it. And if
right.
you want
to Dell leased it for 30 days. You get to lease it after that.
Yep.
But so. You never own it. Never
that's
never
true.
Think you own it. You don't.
That's and so that's going to be a huge change for people to realize that now they have to pay for their Windows license. And
every year.
Is it going to be an annual payment or will they give you a discount for...
And I suspect Microsoft is not going to be really generous about you haven't paid in a year and 3 months. You're out.
Well, what they do now with Office,
they got to recover all this money that they're losing right now. Like you said, the billions in lost revenue because Windows 8. Oh, that sucked.
Yeah.
Big
so
time.
With Microsoft Office, you can pay $6 or $7 a month for Microsoft Office 365 subscription. That doesn't sound like a lot. Or you can pay $100 a year, and you save money by paying it a year. But $100 sounds like a lot. For the mathematically impaired, you know,
right,
right,
$100 is less than $7 a month, right?
Right, it's under It's $99. It's under $100.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cheap. It's $99. Wow, that's cheap. No, that's $100.
Yeah. And Google Docs is free.
And Google Docs is free.
Oh God, did you hear about the FBI payment for the Apple iPhone hack?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So they did come out and say that they bought. I didn't see that in the notes. There was an Apple one, but not this one.
Yeah.
So the FBI director of the FBI being interviewed on some talk show. Said that they bought the hack to break into the iPhone 5C, which means it is an exploit. So Apple wants to know what it is so they can fix the problem. But he said, so the interviewer asked him how much it cost. And he said a lot, more than I will make in the remainder of my tenure as director of the FBI. So some people did some quick math. He makes about $200,000 a year. He's got 7 years left on his term. $1.4 million. And it cost them more than that.
Yep.
to buy this hack.
Yep.
And so now we know why they're offering it to other law enforcement agencies and other jurisdictions, because they got to get their money back.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. To the phones. Our first caller is Ron from Rochester, New York. Hi, Ron. What's up?
Hi, Ron. How you doing, guys? I'm running Quicken 7 on my XP, and I know I can't get it to Windows 7. And I tried using Quicken Deluxe to keep a record of checks. I'm having a lot of problems with that. Is there anything else on the market that I can get besides Quicken Deluxe?
You could upgrade to Quicken 2016,
yeah.
which would work on the current systems. Or you could use the Quicken Online, which doesn't have an app on your computer. It runs in a website. But we are also seeing more and more smaller programs coming out for personal checkbook, because people don't need a lot of fancy bookkeeping for personal
checkbook.
The thing
I'm wondering, though...
What would I do? Just Quicken.com to get on the...
Yeah, but check
on Quicken's online service. Yeah, there's one called iBank that I've heard really good things about.
But because
might be Mac only.
What I'm worried about is, because I just went up to 2016 with Quicken, and... There's a cutoff though that the
compatibility. Yeah,
No. That it can take your old data and move it over to the 2016 version.
Okay,
and I thought that was 2009.
Data into it, and then to delete things, it wouldn't delete anything, and it was taking. I couldn't organize it. It was taking money the wrong way from the balance, and the balance was wrong and everything, and I was just having a heck of a time getting it straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
This was 2013 that I was running.
Oh, well, then if you go to 2016, that'll take your data over. I've been very pleased with 2016. I've been running it now for about 3 months, and I like the additional features.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
Yeah, take a look at that. I mean, read the reviews in that on it. But yeah, I wound up getting the deluxe version too. It just has a few extra things as far as also backing it up to the Quicken cloud system and that, just in case anything happens. I mean, I back it up elsewhere. But as Nick always says, at least three places is not bad as a start.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I'll give that a try then.
Okay. All right, good luck.
Right, thank you.
Good luck.
Yep.
Bye.
There is a website called alternative2.net that will find you alternatives to software. One of the problems with Quicken is they upgrade every year, and they want you to pay $80 every year to buy the new version. And if you wait too long, like Dave said, you can't convert your data file to the new version.
I'm pretty sure it does state on there that what version shows 16 can handle.
Yeah.
Up to, and I think 2009 for some reason rings a bell that it can handle up to that.
But there are some alternatives. One called GNU Cache is free and open source.
Mint.com, I've heard very good things about.
Quicken owns them.
Mint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They bought Mint a few years ago. You need a budget, a home bank, calendar budget. So there's a whole bunch of personal finance programs that
Money
are...
Money Dance is still out.
Money Dance, yeah. Scrooge with a K. Because it's KDE.
Right.
So yeah, you don't have to go with the giant, behemoth commercial programs. You can try one of the smaller, freer programs too.
Right. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not, why not? Get on the line and give us a call. It's 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites and the Truly Great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Tom from Rochester, New York on the line. Tom, what's up?
Hi. A few days ago, I was just having problems using Windows Live Mail. I would open it up and start downloading my emails, and after about the second one got downloaded, it just froze up. It wouldn't download anymore.
Yep.
I use Firefox for my internet, but I haven't switched to Thunderbird. You think that would be a good idea? I called the tech support for my ISP, and they were of no help at all. So,
yeah. What sometimes happens is that when you get a particularly large email or a problematic email,
yes,
it can freeze.
Yeah.
The
okay.
easy way.
I use my iPad to access my mail, and no problem. I could do it. That's why I'm thinking it's on my Windows-based desktop.
No, it's likely, actually, the fact that whatever that email is or was, it was too big, or it had a virus in it or some issue or other that prevented it from downloading to your system. So if you look at your mail online and find that one giant file, I see it when people send movies to each other.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah. There was no like large attachment with anything.
It may have been an ad that's full of HTML code, you know, malicious ad or some sort.
Yeah.
And Firefox was trying to render that ad and couldn't. If you turn off your preview, then you can often delete the ads and junk mail first.
Yeah, I know. I have my preview turned off.
All right. So, but you're saying it works now?
I did the Tango yesterday.
Good.
This seems to be a little bit better. I just opened it now. This is the first time it opened it up. And then when it did open it up, it had some of my old saved emails as if they were unread.
Yeah, because it had not downloaded them. So what you?
Oh, they were downloaded and read like a month ago, and I just saved them because it had some information on there that I wanted to keep.
Yeah, well, so clearly something got screwed up with that download. But if it's working now,
yeah,
delete everything you don't need, and make sure that you watch your machine for a while. You may have to dance the tango again, but get that mail deleted first.
Yeah, usually, on things that are spam.
Yeah.
Automatically go right to my junk mail.
Well, yes, and clear out your junk mail tab and empty your trash and all of that stuff.
Yeah, which I do on a daily basis.
Yep. Well, good for you, Tom. You sound like you got your act together.
Let me ask you another quick question. With Windows Live Mail, if you get a spam, and I mark it as junk, and, you know, to block the, it says block the sender, and then I also block the domain. Now, when that's blocked, that just blocks it from going into your inbox and just sends it to your junk mail? Is there any way to specifically block it from not even coming, or it gets, like, sent back to the sender or not?
And that doesn't matter anyway, because that domain probably is gone, and the people right. who sent the junk mail won't bother looking at any replies.
But I still get from the same domain with a different sender for the ones that I block. I didn't know if Thunderbird had a feature which is a better blocking feature than the Windows Live Mail.
Well, if what I would do is you're blocking it on your computer, right?
Yes, so through Windows Live Mail.
Right.
Here's,
but that blocks it on your computer.
Well, it still comes through, but it goes into the junk mail folder.
In Windows Live Mail, you can go to, and I'll put this link up, you can go to Actions, Junk Mail, and Safety Options, and you can tell it to delete junk mail immediately.
Right.
So you don't ever see it in any box.
All right.
The problem with that is if you get a good mail is accidentally marked as junk, you'll never see it.
Yeah, that's the problem. I didn't know if there was anything where it gets sent, you know, just to make it irritating to the senders.
No, yeah, theoretically.
And then, to flag it in a certain way where it gets sent back to them and saying that this is not a good.
No, because almost all of those are automated systems. And if they get any kind of response, they think it's a live person and you get raised higher on their list of to send to.
Yeah, ignoring it is better.
Is the best thing you can do.
Go into junk mail and don't even like mark it again. Just delete it.
Correct. Just delete it.
Okay. All right. And do you think using Thunderbird would be better than using the Windows Live Mail?
I like Thunderbird a lot, but Windows Live Mail is, if it's what you're used to and it's doing everything you need it to do,
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, so
I almost
all what you're comfortable with.
Isn't there a new email for the Windows 10?
Well, it's another version of the same thing. It's still Windows Mail.
Okay, is it any better or don't you know?
Yeah, 6 of 1.
Okay, all righty. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And sometimes the problem isn't you. It's the other end. We've had several customers this week. We're having problems with their Hotmail. And I just tried to log into my Windows Live Mail, and I can't. Something went wrong is the error message. I love something went wrong.
Doi.
So one of the problems that I've always thought is that since Microsoft has changed their mails product name so often, it was Hotmail for a while, then it was Live Mail for a while, now it's Outlook.com. Separate from the Outlook Mail program, it's the Outlook Mail service, that there are so many different web server and mail server addresses that your email program has to know and have to stay working at the other end, that sometimes I think it's something happened at Microsoft. Somebody's security certificate expired and they haven't renewed it yet, or you know that one server might be busy at the moment. And
now,
so,
interestingly, I just logged into live.com.
That's where I'm at outlook.live.com. That's where I started, at live.com.
Well,
and you're in and I'm not.
And I'm
try
knows?
Again. So your computer went a different path than mine did.
Yeah, apparently it did. Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes it's not you, it's the other end. In fact, most of the time it's not you, it's the other end.
Yeah, right. And now it's and it's asking me for a code number.
It's your two-factor authentication.
Right, but it's I think it's just a way for Microsoft to get my phone number. Interestingly, it would not accept my Google Voice number.
Interesting.
That's interesting. And now it's asking me for this stupid, oh, for God's sake.
This is why we don't use Microsoft products.
Jesus, yeah. Crackers. They're very serious about this. I have now logged in. I have been sent a code to my phone, mm-hmm. And I just had a CAPTCHA.
Really?
Yeah.
I got on a Chromebook.
They're trying.
On a
so
Chromebook.
They're trying to make your mail secure. But yeah. Now, so you're logged in securely, but now then they're going to send it in the clear to the next server.
Yeah. No.
Mail is not secure.
That's a very special Chromebook.
It is a very special Chromebook.
Because it's for Nick. It's a special
That's
Chromebook.
Right. They know not to look me up. All right. Oh, and now I got to go through 20 minutes. Look, you know what? All I wanted to do was look and see if it was up. Clearly it's up, so I don't care about any of this
all
stuff
the new
anymore.
There's an X up there. New features.
Yeah. Okay. I was just trying to look at my mail so that we could tell Tom that what the mail was doing, and I had to do 20 minutes to get into my own flipping mail. Holy moly. Now they're upset that I use an ad blocker. Here's an idea. Oh, no, wait, can't say that on the air. Okay, let's move on to the
well,
next call.
Well, we could, but I'm going to hit the dump.
Yeah, right. Our next caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York, who's been patiently waiting while we screamed at Microsoft. Hi, Ed, what's up?
Hi, well, I do that myself sometimes. So I have a laptop that I upgraded from 7 to 10, and I'm trying to connect it to my HP 4300 printer. And I keep getting printer driver errors. I've downloaded the driver not from website, but from other websites. And I keep getting into this error. And so I don't know what to do.
I would try uninstalling everything. Go to HP's website, download the uninstaller to uninstall everything for that driver, for that printer, and then download the driver from directly from HP so you know it's a valid driver file.
Right. Now, never download from a non-Microsoft site when you're talking about drivers. Unless it's a very old
Or the vendor. So it's an HP printer.
Or the vendor. Yeah. Right. It's a Dell. You go to the Dell website. HP, you go to HP.
Well, and actually, there's an interesting point, too. Uninstall everything you've installed and let Windows 10 find the driver for you.
Yeah.
It may do that automatically.
Okay. Well, it seemed to have problems. That's why.
Unless it's a really old printer, and then you may have to do it yourself.
Yeah, well, the printer is probably 5 years old. I'm not sure.
Let's see what it says about
According to HP's website, the LaserJet 4300 printer has both a 32-bit and a 64-bit Windows 10 driver.
LaserJet or OfficeJet?
LaserJet.
40, okay.
Yep. And yes, there is both a 32-bit and a 64-bit Windows 10 specific driver.
Because there's also an OfficeJet 4300. Yeah, right. If you download the wrong driver, that would be worse.
Right. Yeah. So what you want to do is what Steve said. Just delete the whole thing. Let Microsoft find it again. Let it download the driver. If you don't like that driver, then go to HP's website and download the driver specifically for it.
Okay, so first I do the uninstall, and then I install. Okay, now when I go to install, it asks which port I want to use. And I've got four USB ports on my laptop. And I don't know how it identifies them.
Well, it should be USB versus parallel versus right. Ethernet. It's not which USB port. It's you want to use USB, period.
Okay.
Right. The cool thing about USB is it's what's called hot swappable or hot pluggable sometimes, which means that you can plug something in or pull something out without having to turn off the power. But it also means that when you do plug something in, it's automatically recognized by the system. So as long as you've told it it's a USB port, well, it's looking at the USB interrupt line to put the technical term to it. So when that HP printer gets plugged in, the interrupt line goes hot and it says, I got something for you. And it says, oh, I'm an HP printer. And then that driver says, oh, that's where you are. Okay.
Okay. So it doesn't matter then.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much.
There you go.
Bye.
Yeah. The newer Macs do that too. You plug your printer in, it finds and downloads the best driver for you. For most of the most recent printers. It's only if you have a very old printer, you may have to do it manually.
Right, and that is the problem with all of this stuff. Upgrading, and this goes back to what we were talking about, businesses upgrading to Windows 10. In many cases, there is software that will not run on Windows 10, and in many cases, there is old hardware which will not run on Windows 10. You may be able to have a generic driver. So if you have a very old LaserJet, you use a generic LaserJet driver and it will print, but it might not do any of the fancy stuff that printer does, like double siding or what, you know, whatever it happens to be. Believe me.
Microsoft says buy a new printer.
Yeah, exactly. Believe me, I get that we all want to save money. We all want to make sure that we are not spending money frivolously. But Microsoft doesn't care, and B, they want to save money, so they only want to support a certain level of thing, right? Yep. So that's the way that's going to work.
And that still gets me, excuse me, a lot of folks still, I've had a couple of machines come in that are still running Windows XP.
Yep.
And they're getting upset because I had one in particular came in, got it all cleaned up, and I said, now watch it. I says, you know, you can run these programs that I put on there, but there's no guarantees. There are so many holes. And XP is no longer supported. Well, I want to keep using it because I'm comfortable with this. I said, well, then, you know, you're flying at your own risk.
Then you're going to come back to me every couple of weeks and
need
it cleaned up.
2 weeks later, come back. This thing's all infected again. You didn't clean it. Yes, I did. I told you, you know. Well, yeah, but, you know, I want to still use.
You know what? You guys need a sliding scale.
Yeah.
disinfecting a Windows 10 machine, X. Disinfecting an XP machine, Y. And Y is at least twice X.
And it includes, it includes a copy of Windows 10 and an hour of training. All right, yeah, here we go. So it's $500 to clean your XP machine.
I wouldn't put Windows 10 on an XP machine.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
I mean, yeah.
But I mean, at some point, people have to understand that while we would love to support everything on Earth, it's not us who does the majority of the support. Yeah. We know where to find things that Microsoft has put out or whoever has put out. But if they stop supporting it, we have to stop supporting it. There's nothing else we can do.
Well, and this was another one that I tried to sell them into a Chrome. Oh, I can't afford much. I says, well, all right, what do you do? And basically it boiled down to wanting to work on photos, edit photos, and search the internet and get their webmail. Chromebook.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I says, that'll do it. And I says, oh, guess what? You don't have to worry about viruses. You don't have to worry about malware and everything else. It's just a browser.
Yep.
Well, okay. And I showed him mine, and I think I kind of planted a seed there, but we'll see.
We had a couple weeks ago at the Rochester Google's meeting, I showed some picture editing stuff. And I had a couple of guys who were really very angry that I wasn't talking about Photoshop.
Yeah.
Until they saw that I could do everything they do in Photoshop. Everything.
For free.
For free.
Using GIMP?
Yeah. No, online tools.
Online. Cool.
Back in just a couple of minutes with a lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
What an odd choice for a program name, Alternating Tuesdays. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
10 and 45 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Welcome back, and we have Victor from Irondequoit on the line. Hiya, Vic. What's up?
Hi, guys. I just bought from Amazon, some comic books. The one in particular that I've got on the desktop right now is The Flash. That's the guy with the lightning bolt and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But the size of it is only 6x10, and there's no way to increase it. Do I need another program, or am I just SOL?
Generally speaking, well, it depends. Do you know what format you bought it in?
There was only one format, and I don't remember what it was. I'd have to go back and look. There was no choice, but I saw that option, and there was no choice on that. And I clicked the thing with the four arrows to make it the whole page, and the most I get is 6x9. I mean, I can read it, but it's difficult.
Yeah. Is this a Kindle edition?
Yeah.
There's your problem.
It's designed for a Kindle with a small screen.
Right. It's designed specifically for the Kindle.
But I'm using the Kindle for PC program.
Right, but it also has a specific size.
Oh, okay.
And that's you know, the way it comes on the Kindle. That's how that's going to work. I don't know what to say. Maybe there's somebody else who uses them more regularly who can tell me something. But because I don't use the Kindle app on my computer, I'm not familiar with whether or not you can actually make it any bigger than the legit size that it comes.
I have read about devices that will convert the Kindle to a PDF.
But I don't think they increase the size. Well,
but as a PDF, you can zoom it up.
Yeah.
Can you put that link up, Steve?
I'll see if I can find one.
Okay. Now, I also, when I bought it, I got a chance to put it on all three Kindles and my Android phone, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the phone works out. It should fill up the whole screen, I would think.
Yeah, it should. And I was about to say the nice thing about Kindle, of course, is that you can run, if you don't even have a Kindle, you can run it on so many other devices.
Right.
And so if you have a device that's closer to the size, now again, it depends on what your phone is. If you've got the iPhone 5S, it's going to be tiny. But if you've got the like a Galaxy or an LG phone, then it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, I've got the Galaxy S7.
There you go. Oh, you got a good size phone then.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward. I think as soon as I hang up on you, I'm going to see how it comes on my phone.
There you go.
And if you're into comics, there's a really great program called Comixology. In fact, I just went to their website and noticed that Amazon bought them. They were so great. and they've got tens of thousands of comics available from big publishers, from little publishers, and they have all kinds of sales on digital comics. Well, and I've read from and heard from a lot of podcasters that the iPad makes a really, especially the iPad Pro, because it's the big size, makes a really great comic book viewer because it's the size of a comic book print edition.
Well, what I'm only putting on is the first editions, like The Flash, the Detective comic books, the Action, the Superman, the Batman, etc.
Yeah.
And right now, they're only 99 cents.
Yeah. Pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, and again, I can put it on all three Kindles and my Samsung phone, too. For 99 cents, that's pretty good. I can't complain. Now, can you put this link up to this comic book site also, Steve?
Yep. He's in the midst of doing it.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a friend that's into comics that I work with. And every Wednesday we go, hey, Jeff, it's Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Yep. And
absolutely.
He goes, yep, Comic Book Wednesday. And he always knows what's the latest and greatest one coming out.
When I was younger, my father threw out all my comics.
Yeah.
And he said, you don't read them anymore. He said, I wasn't reading them. I was saving them. So I went out and got the comic book guide. And I showed him, at the time, I had this issue, it's worth $150. I had this issue, it was worth $200. I had this issue, it was worth $50. I eventually stopped because he actually started crying.
Yep.
And I was never big into comics, but I like the comic book-based TV shows.
Sure.
So we're watching Gotham, we're a few episodes behind, so my son and I are binge-watching, and they brought in Doctor Strange. And I go, oh, cool. You know, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play him in the movie, right? No. This is Dr. Hugo Strange,
who's
an arch-villain in the DC world.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's not Dr. Victor Strange, which is a superhero in the Marvel world.
Dr. Stephen Strange. If you're going to get it right. because I was about to say,
they're both bringing Dr. Strange
because the Doctor Strange you're thinking of is Marvel Gotham is DC.
So this is Hugo Strange, played by B.D. Wong.
Who
did it really, really great, but I'm thinking, well, that's nothing like Benedict Cumberbatch. Why did they cast him for that character?
Yeah, I've got right. I couldn't get into Gotham. I got into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those. I also really liked Agent Carter, and that's gone now.
Yeah, that one went, and there was another one.
Well, they
about
did the
S.H.I.E.L.D.
the second series of Agent Carter, and now we do S.H.I.E.L.D., and then they're going to go back into Agent Carter again. They're alternating series.
Well, no, Agent Carter's done.
She's gone. They got canceled.
Haley, what's her name, is now in an entire other series.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D., though, is getting...
Break my heart.
break your heart. Haley Atwell.
Actually, who was it? Clark, Greg, and Haley Atwell were on Lip Sync Battle last week. My wife taped it for me.
Yeah.
LL Cool J hosts this show where celebrities lip sync songs.
He did a Britney Spears tune.
Really?
He was wonderful. He was
I remember him
wonderful.
From The New Adventures of Old Christine. That's the first time I saw him and remembered. And he's so quiet and unassuming. And he was practicing for Phil Coulson.
Yes, he was. There's a guy who's parlayed a one shot into an entire career.
And even died in the movie. And didn't matter.
Oh, spoiler!
Well, spoiler. He died in the movie 10 years ago.
Still, if you haven't seen it. there's a guy who's had a life. I'm a big comic books fan, always have been a big comic books fan. Got out of it for the longest time, partially because my eyes were so bad, but I've got better glasses now. I love the comic movies and the comic book TV shows still.
Talk about being upset with parents and throwing stuff out.
Yeah.
As I was growing up, I grew up in the 50s.
And, oh, that's right. You're old. I keep forgetting.
And back then, baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Because I lived
down at baseball cards. And for the longest time, I couldn't wait till September because the bubblegum would bring out and they'd bring the full pack.
Yep.
I mean, it was the full seal. It had the team card in there and all the players. And I had it for the Yankees because we were big Yankees fans in that neighborhood. And I had them all. Even Babe Ruth and, Mickey Mantle, his rookie card and all that, had all that stuff. Had it up in the attic when we moved. I always put...
That would be worth a
my mother claims, yep.
Yeah,
God rest her soul, she threw them out.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why they're so expensive.
Three shoeboxes full of baseball cards.
That's why they're so valuable now, is because everybody's parents threw them out. If everyone had kept them that says they wish they'd kept them, they wouldn't be worth anything.
I had the same thing happen with my Lionel train set. I had some very rare Lionel cars.
I had an O scale from 1947.
And he threw them all out. And I did not replay the crying episode, so I didn't even tell him how much they were worth. But they were worth more than the comics.
Well, it's just like me. I think of, you know, the extras, because we'd get doubles and all that. I already got this one.
Yeah.
And we'd put them in our bikes.
There'd be spokes.
In the spokes of the bikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Use a big clothespin.
Yep.
And put them into your spokes, and that was cool.
You know, those spring clothespins are hard to find now, because they're all plastic compression pins.
Yeah, but you can find them. You just have
to. Yeah, we got them at Home Depot.
Yeah.
With the solar dryers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff that we threw out as kids. Who wants this? Who
needs this? The lunch boxes and everything.
The lunch boxes. Oh. What's really rare are the boxes things came in.
Yeah.
I have an old Howdy Doody puppet, which is worth a lot of money, but I've also got the box, so it's worth
a lot more
money. Yeah. And oddly, nobody threw that out on me.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody forgot about it. It's up in the attic.
It's Howdy Doody time. It's Howdy Doody time.
That's right.
And that's all I know, because I'm not that old.
My my wife's grandmother went to school with Buffalo Bob Smith. And we asked her about him one time, and it's the only time I ever heard her swear. Mm. Anyway. Yeah. Apparently he was at least in high school or whatever, grammar school, high school. He was not the nicest human being.
We were at the Rochester Soho show this Wednesday. Derek was there with one of the other kids from the we keep saying kids from the station. Eric, I think his name was. I'm sorry, I forget. But he was so young that Derek and I kept talking about these references that the kid didn't know. And you know, we're trying to remember even, you know, 80s things he didn't know, because I guess he's only 20.
Yeah.
So we told him your story about Jay Silverheels, and there's a knock at the door. You open the door, and there's Jay Silverheels standing at your house.
Yeah. No, I was at his house.
Oh, you went to his house.
My father knew his wife's parents. He married an Italian lady from Rochester, and so he was visiting them, and my father made me go knock on the door, and all of a sudden the door opens, and there's Tonto. I mean, he had the buckskins on. He had everything. I almost ruined my underwear. It was just amazing. All right, listen, to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Webster, New York. Don, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to update to Windows 10, but I'm trying to find out if my printer is compatible with Windows 10. I have a Kodak ESP 3.2, and I went to the Kodak site, and there are no driver updates. And I was just wondering, is this something that I have to buy a new printer, or is there some way around it?
We're looking, but if you're lucky, Windows 10 has a driver built in. But that's sometimes the problems with older printers and companies that have stopped making printers.
There is a support page for it.
Sometimes, if you load the Windows 8 driver, it can work.
Yeah, it says on the driver site, Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows Vista, and Windows XP. So, I don't know that I would trust it. So, really, the big thing is, I think, at some point. Yeah, it doesn't say 10. It could work, but you may, as we said earlier, sometimes you run printers in compatibility mode. You know, almost everything can pretend to be an HP LaserJet or inkjet. But it doesn't seem that there is anything right now. If somebody from Kodak is listening and knows about this and wants to give us a call or shoot us an email, that would be great. But yeah, other than that, I don't know what to tell you, and I apologize.
Oh, that's
if you
all
have,
right. I just
Make a good backup of your computer, upgrade to Windows 10 and try it. And if it doesn't work and you can't find a workaround, you can restore your backup to your previous Windows.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
One of the things that Kodak really touted when they made these printers was the cost of the ink. We joke about the, you know, it's a $20 ink cartridge, but if you look at the capacity, you know, half a milliliter or something like that, that works out to like $4,000 a gallon.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous. So Kodak came out with these new, their printers, and their big thing was that they had bigger ink cartridges so that the ink was cheaper per page, and that worked a lot better. And then Kodak stopped making them. Now Epson has a new line of printers they're calling EcoTank. And what they do is instead of having a cartridge that you put into the printer, you get a bottle of ink. And you fill the reservoir
with
that. So that bottle of ink, and they say it comes with enough ink for 2 years. So most of the time you buy a printer and it comes with starter cartridges that last, you know, 10 pages.
Yeah, right.
So now the printers are coming with years worth of ink. And it's so much cheaper because it's a big bottle of ink, not a little tiny cartridge with half a milliliter in it.
Right. Cool. All right, listen, that music tells us you wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. But for those of you who are not quick learners, you will have another chance to do so because there's an entire new hour of sound bites coming up. If you're on the phone, please stay on the line. We'll get to you as soon as possible. If you're not on the line, why not? 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 59 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, two important announcements.
Uh-oh.
First, happy birthday to friend of the show, Little Willie Shakespeare.
Yep.
I didn't even send him a card. Exactly. William Shakespeare's birthday. So,
it's his 400th birthday today.
It's his 400th birthday.
No, date of his death, April 23rd, 1616.
Right.
So 400th anniversary of his death.
So I think you should read a sonnet to your loved one today. And that would be lovely. Also, I'm going to brag for just a moment. Yesterday, on Twitter, Nolan Bushnell started following me. I do not know why. For those of you who don't know, for those of you who are too young to know, he's a serial entrepreneur, which is like a serial killer with money. He's the guy who started Atari. He's the guy who started Chuck E. Cheese and about 50 other companies. And I don't know why he's following me. I'm sure it's a mistake, but God bless him.
He's the guy that fired Steve Jobs.
I'm very delighted that he is
following me. That he didn't want the Apple computer.
Right. He didn't want the Apple computer. He has said something along the lines of, I think about that every once in a while when I want to cry. He was offered 50% of Apple for like, I don't know, $15,000 or something. Ridiculously low amount of money. But it was, you know, it was very nice of him to follow me. And now I have to up my Twitter game. But it was just like, you know.
How do you up your Twitter game?
I don't know. I don't have any idea.
At least you broke 1,000 followers.
I did break 1,000 followers. I did. I broke most of them individually, but yeah. some of them collectively. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Paul from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I do remember 1963, I believe it was. That was Shakespeare's 400th anniversary of his birth.
Right.
Whole semester, my English teacher spent talking about him. And
there you go.
Definitely burned a memory in my brain. I have a question. Recently, I keep getting problems with Adobe Flash crashing, and I get messages from Malwarebytes because I run that regularly. And I believe that Malwarebytes is preventing the downloading and installation of an update to Flash. And I'm wondering how I can get around that.
Well, you really don't want to get around that.
The question, are these downloads legitimate or are they scams from...
Well, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell the difference from this end. Also, Adobe themselves have said stop using Flash because it has so many security holes in it.
And if Malwarebytes is stopping it, it probably is one of the fake ones.
Really? Excuse me. Okay.
So you want to go to Adobe.com yourself and download it manually, or better yet, uninstall it. And most of the websites you go to that need Flash will just switch to something else.
HTML5 usually.
Okay.
Particularly if you use something along the lines of Chrome as your browser.
Yes, I have been using Chrome.
Well, Chrome has its own Flash alike, I guess is the way to put that, so that you aren't using Adobe's Flash, which has so many security holes in it.
That's why it gets updated so often.
Right.
It's like the bad guys have this huge list of exploits, and then as soon as Adobe patches one, they just move on to the next one.
So why don't they just get rid of it at the moment?
Well, they're doing that, but Adobe has said stop using Flash.
But there's millions of websites that still use it, mostly older websites.
Okay.
One of the issues, of course, is that a while ago, if you wanted to be in Google's SEO, search engine optimization stuff, if you want to be high in the ranks of Google, it doesn't understand Flash, their little robot that wanders around the internet checking sites. Doesn't understand Flash. So if you created a Flash site, which so many people did in the 80s and the 90s, you fall off of Google completely because nobody can find you because it's all in Flash, which is essentially a blank page to Google. So fewer people are using Flash, but a lot of places still use it. For example, YouTube has switched entirely to HTML5, but there are still billions of videos that are in Flash. So you either, if they're very old, they haven't been converted yet and you can't play them. Or if you don't have Flash, it will run the HTML5 version for you instead, which is a better deal, believe me.
Yeah, I'll have to do a more careful filter then of things. And
yeah.
Get us something... replace Flash.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Sorry. But, you know, when the company that makes it says stop using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tells you something right there.
You think?
Yeah. Here's a... we have somebody else...
And they changed... One of the ways they're saying stop using Flash is they changed the name and they're calling it something else now.
Yeah.
But hopefully they rewrote the code base and so it doesn't have all the... Flash's problems. It has all new problems.
Right. It'll have a different set of problems, and there will be updates to that instead. But Flash has had its day. It was the thing for creating motion stuff on the internet. But that's long gone. CSS 3, HTML 5, all of that stuff does it better, faster, and lighter, which is important when you're looking at some of the smaller devices like phones and like watches and everything else, you don't want a heavy, and Flash is just huge and clumsy and I hate it.
And it doesn't run on phones and tablets.
Well, if at all,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. Mike from Webster, New York. Hiya, Mike. What can we do for you?
Hi, I have a Windows 10 update problem.
Yeah, oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I'm the only one who has one.
Yes.
Nick, I sent you an email back on Monday and described things, but it's an Asus X550L laptop. About a week and a half ago, it just started all by itself of upgrading to Windows 10. And that didn't please me very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been recording that for weeks now.
Things seemed to work okay for a couple of days, and then I went to go to my credit card website, and it would not accept the HTTPS. I got a red X over the padlock. The HTTPS was in red with a slash through it, and the message was, your connection is not private. That's on Chrome, but I got similar messages both on Firefox and Edge. To add a little bit more to it, on Edge, it won't even go to Microsoft.com because I get the same message.
Check the date and time on your computer. If the date is off, then the security certificates may not authenticate properly.
Well, right now it says April 23rd, 2016, 1:13 p.m.
Okay, did you, I have to, because I may have missed this. Did you say you went back to Windows 7?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you're still on Windows 10?
Yes. And as it went through the process, so that was the first update. Then I got in touch with someone from the website that I was trying to get to, and they sent me through a few things, and none of which worked. So then I got in touch with Windows, and they had a technician call who then took over control of the laptop.
That probably wasn't Microsoft.
It was right from Microsoft.com. It wasn't a phone call that I received.
Okay.
I went to Microsoft.com, and they have a return call program for technical help.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he rammed around for about an hour without coming up with anything, and then he clicked on something and said, oh, well, this shows that the upgrade did not load fully, so I'm going to initiate another upload or download or upgrade. And so 2 hours later, it didn't fix the problem, but it also killed my printer. So I tried, I downloaded Lexmark's latest driver, the 8.1, and that didn't work. So I just went out and bought a new printer. But I still can't get to any of those websites. Asus Tech Services suggested that because it was an update and not a clean install, that I go through a reset to factory setting. You know, start the...
Yeah, that's always their answer.
Okay, yeah.
That erases everything on your computer and starts over as if you just bought it.
Correct. Yes, that's what I understand.
All right, what may be happening is that at some point during the update, every web browser has a cache of trusted certificates.
Correct, okay.
And that may have gotten, what's the technical term, messed up during the upgrade.
Okay.
So what you can do is change, get rid of the ones you don't want, or just get rid of all of them, I suppose, and let them come back again. You know, Windows can do some of that stuff.
Sometimes, if you click on that message that comes up telling you it's not trusted, it will tell you why it's not trusted,
right?
And that often helps troubleshoot the problem.
Yes, it said that something was. It was sort of like the encryption was garbled or something, and so Chrome didn't trust it.
Chrome. Chrome has some over.
But he said he had the same problem with IE and with Edge.
Chrome has stopped trusting SHA-1 certificates.
Right.
Even though they're still valid till the end of the year, ish.
Ish.
They're not supposed to be any new ones released. So what may be happening is they're using an old security standard that is being deprecated and haven't switched to the new security standard yet. So there are, I've been hearing about this on Security Now, that Chrome is getting a little overly critical of websites that are still using an older but still perfectly good encryption technology.
Okay.
So it may have that message may tell you it's using SHA-1, not the newer SHA-256.
Okay.
Oh, here's another question. Do you have Microsoft Family Safety turned on?
I have no idea.
Okay. Likely not, but Microsoft Family Safety also has a much higher standard, and that's not at any, and this is why I bring this up, is because it's not based on any browser. It's actually kind of before you get to the browser. But if you don't, if Microsoft Family Safety in Windows 10, you can turn that on and off. And if it's turned on, it may well be set up so that certain certificates, it just won't go to those places because they aren't on the family friendly list. Does that make sense?
It does, but it's hard to believe that L.L. Bean Visa is not on the family-friendly list. But.
Well, no, because it's in a lot of cases, it doesn't let your children screw around with your credit cards.
Okay.
Right? So it may well be that. And
if you're not on the whitelist, then you're automatically blacklisted.
Right.
And I checked Microsoft's security certificate. They are using SHA-1, and they're still using MD5. Which is known to be broken.
Yeah, yeah. Which is one of the reasons everybody is getting involved in this. One of the reasons that people are getting caught so easily on the web for stuff is because many of these sites have old or broken certificates. And up until now, pretty much everybody just accepted them. Says, well, it's old, it's broken, but so what? Chrome was the first to step up and say, no. You don't get to play that game anymore. Update your certificates. And now Edge and, Microsoft and Mozilla with Firefox and Opera and pretty much everybody are starting to do the same thing, because otherwise you end up with an issue as far as having an unsecured machine. No matter what else you do, it's possible to be caught. So I don't know what to say, except maybe lower your
defenses.
Defenses is, honestly, that's all there is to that. I apologize. Sorry.
Oh, can you tell me how to turn off family safety?
Yes, stay on the line. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Mike from Webster, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we still have Mike from Webster, New York on the line. Mike.
Okay.
There you are. Steve has posted the Microsoft Help page on how to deal with the Family Center. So if you just go to website, if you just go to soundbites.org, remember that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, you will find a post about that.
Okay. Is that the smart screen filter?
No, that is, okay. Is a slightly different thing.
Okay. So that should stay on, the smart screen filter?
Probably. I don't see why it would. I don't see why you wouldn't leave that on.
Okay. I'll check. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
That's always the problem with the filters and the protections and the certificates that they can block good sites accidentally, and so sometimes you have to turn it off to get to a site you really want to get to.
I mean, I guess honestly, Mike, if I were you, it wouldn't hurt to, if nothing else works, turn it off, go to that site, see what happens.
Yeah.
Right? The smart screen filter, because it could just be wrong. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Dennis, what's up?
Got a couple of questions, and you were talking about uninstalling Flash, and I'm looking at my desktop, and there's Adobe Flash Player 21 ActiveX and Adobe Flash Player 21 NP API. Do I get rid of both of those?
Yeah. Basically, the Flash player is one thing, but the access to the application programming interface, the API, is an entirely different thing. And so I think well, if they wrote it right, you get rid of one, the other one goes. Or get rid of the program
theoretically
itself.
Yeah, so yeah, the ActiveX version would work inside of IE, and the NN API would work inside of other web browsers.
I use Firefox, and I only use IE for one thing, and Firefox I use for everything else. I got one other question. I uninstalled Adobe Reader, but yet in my local users temp file, I'm still getting a thing that says acro_rd_dir. Keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. What do I do?
It's in the temp file?
It's in my users, username, and that temp file.
After you uninstalled it, did you reboot?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've rebooted, I've deleted, I've done everything. And again, that's... So if you want the direct path to make sure we're talking about the right thing here...
Are you using Firefox?
Yes.
There you go.
That folder is created by Firefox whenever you go to a site that downloads a Flash video. It's a temporary storage site, basically a Flash cache for Firefox.
Yeah. Now we were talking about the Adobe Reader thing, though.
Yes.
Acrobat.
Yep. So so Firefox is creating that when you download an FLV file.
So if you go to a website that has an FLV file on it, that's set to auto download from the other end, you will get that.
I thought we're talking about PDF files now for acro.
Well, we were, but then you started talking about this acro_rd_dir.
Right, that's not a PDF thing.
No, that's for FLV file. That's for video files. That's for Adobe video files.
Oh. Okay, I thought it had something to do with PDF.
Nope. Well, it's still Adobe.
And that's okay then for that to keep coming back then?
Yeah, basically what it's doing is it's prepping for, if you wanted to play that FLV file, it's prepping for it. It's a temp file, which means that theoretically, if the company who wrote the code wrote it correctly, it'll delete it when it's done. But... in the temp file in general, unless it starts getting too big, is not really something to worry about a lot.
Is there anything in that directory?
No.
So it's probably just Firefox creating it in case it needs it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you very much.
Yep.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
You're not supposed to go looking in your temp folders.
Well, and on the one hand, it's very good to look in that our users are savvy enough to go looking for all this stuff. The bad part is when they don't understand what it is they found, and that's why we're here to help educate them.
There is a third-party program called Video Cache Viewer that will let you look in your cache folder if you actually want to see it, and then you can delete individual pieces of that cache.
Right.
It's from a company called Nearsoft that they make a lot of cool little utilities.
Nirsoft.
Nirsoft, yeah. And one of them I use all the time lets me look at saved passwords. When people don't remember their email password when I'm trying to set up the machine.
Yeah.
So every time I download it, the antivirus programs all go nuts that I'm downloading a hacking tool.
Right.
Yes, this is a good hacking tool. I'm a white hat. Get that through your mind.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, good luck with that. all right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Question. I'm deciding whether to upgrade to Windows 10, but I have a Windows 7 desktop and also a laptop that's running 8.1, both of which have 4 gig of RAM. Is that too little to upgrade to Windows 10 so that it'll work effectively?
No, it's really kind of a minimum.
Work effectively. Work, yes. Yeah. Effectively, maybe not.
Yeah, 4 gig is, the price of poker keeps going up, but 4 gig should be enough to run Windows. Would more be better? Yeah, absolutely, no question. But you can run it quite nicely in 4 gig, so that's fine.
Okay, and when you transfer over to Windows 10, it just brings all your other stuff along with it.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah.
Theoretically, yeah. I love that word.
Yeah. If everything goes right, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I did it recently on the other machine up in my office. I went from Windows 7 to Windows 10. All the applications moved over, the printers and everything. It was there, and I've been playing with it, and it's good.
Then we had that earlier caller that none of their security certificates apparently worked.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who was it who said in theory and practice are the same, but in practice they're not?
So, exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but theoretically, yes, it will work. And it has worked on, you know, we're flippant about this, but it's worked in millions and millions and millions of machines. Okay. So, you know, honestly, the number of people having problems, the problems are horrible, but the number is really minuscule.
But like
you don't want to be the one who has the problems either.
That's right. You don't want to be that person, right?
Right. And now, Windows 7 is supported until when, 2020?
Hold on a second.
Well, mainstream support has already ended.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Extended support is a few. Yeah.
Now, you have to understand what extended support means. Are you a company and are you paying Microsoft for support?
No.
Then you are not under extended support.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. So if you are just an average user, your support ended over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And extended support doesn't mean a thing to you.
But what about the security patches?
Security patches still go out to people until 2020.
Okay. All right. By that time, my desktop will probably be ready to be replaced in any case.
Right.
There you go.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right. Have fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And the one thing we've got to tell, though, folks, I'm sorry to step on you, Steve, is anybody that's going to go to Windows 10, and we say this all the time, back up those documents and any other, like if you're using Quicken and all these other files, back them up. Because, you know, if you've got to go back to, say, Windows 7 or that, you're going to have to reinstall all these programs and everything else, because I've also heard horror stories about people trying to go backwards to Windows 7 that it didn't quite work.
Right.
Backup, please.
Well, people should be backing up anyway, but yes.
Yeah, you never know when there's going to be a problem. A file gets lost, the computer crashes. You should always have a good backup, but especially before you do something major like upgrade the operating system.
Exactly.
Especially.
And you know what? Backing up doesn't count. Backing up and then checking the backup by restoring a file, that counts.
Yep. We had a customer this week that they had a backup drive. Turned out their video card failed, but they were a little worried about their data, which they should have been, and said, they brought in their backup drive. I looked at it, and it wasn't technically a backup drive. They had drag-copied their pictures folder, which is okay, a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, no, that's not a backup.
Mm-mm.
Backups really need to be automated because we're all human.
Yeah.
And we don't do it as regularly as we should. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Hemlock, New York. How are things in Hemlock?
Oh, they're nice and sunny down here.
Yeah, I bet they are. Don't drink the water. I mean, okay.
That's where all the city water comes from.
Yeah, I know. That's where our city water comes from. I know. On the one hand, you don't want to drink Hemlock, but you want to drink from Hemlock.
Yeah.
Right. What's up, Mark?
My wife's laptop just died.
Uh-oh.
And so I need to get her something new. And I'm really thinking of getting a Chromebook because I don't think she really uses it for anything other than going online and doing stuff online.
Right.
And I was just wondering if you got any recommendations. I hadn't looked into it much and thought a Chromebook was just a Chromebook, but it turns out everybody makes a Chromebook. What would you recommend for, like, features in it?
Well, they're all dang near the same unless you're willing to spend a bucket load of cash. So on that sense, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, get a Pixel.
Just get
only 1500.
Well, what I was looking at, I wound up going for the bigger screen, so I wanted 15-inch.
Right. So what you want to look at is two things. Three things. Nobody expects Spanish Inquisition. The processor that's in it, you know, if you want to get an actual Celeron processor or an i3 as opposed to, like, an Atom processor or that, you want to make sure that you've got at least 2 gigs of RAM, and as we all know, 4 is better. And then it's the size of the screen, whatever makes you happy. So,
and it's pretty much the same things you look at
your wife happy
with a Mac desktop or Windows laptop.
Right.
The same, you know, what size screen, how fast the processor, how much memory.
But right. beyond
but in
that,
Chrome, you don't have to spend as much as Windows.
Right,
or,
right. Yeah, and yeah. and you can spend, as we said, you can buy a Pixel, which is like $1,500 and has a touch screen and folds over backwards and does all that stuff. Right. Or you can spend, you know, $300 or $200 or $400.
Yeah, I did. I think mine was $270 and then yeah. plus tax.
Yeah.
Through Best Buy.
And you end up with an awfully fine machine that will last you forever. I have a couple of different Chromebooks, you know, my eyes are old, so the original 11-inch that I bought years ago still works great, but I don't use it much because it's 11 inches. It's not good for my eyes.
Right.
The 12-inch is better. I have a 15-inch like Dave does, which mm-hmm. I really use 99% of the time. So either of those is fine. You want to make a, you know, talk to your wife. If you're going to carry it around, make a trade-off between screen size and portability.
Yeah, she really doesn't. She actually thought her laptop was too big. She wants something a little bit smaller than what she had.
Yeah, then you know, you and she need to take a day, make it a family event, go out to lunch, mm-hmm. and spend a day at one of the big box stores looking at the various Chromebooks.
And try test drive them. Because,
test
you know, the way that, like we've said right along since laptops started coming out, you know, some folks, you know, like a clicky keyboard and everything else, the layouts and all that. You got to get what's comfortable for you. And each laptop is different.
Right.
Yeah.
Even with Chromebooks.
You okay, know, I've got one more question, if I could.
Yeah.
I've got an XP computer that I need to run because it's the only drivers that I have for a 36-inch plotter that I use.
Yep.
Like, I need to keep it for that. At some point, I've got to get a new computer, but I move that computer into my shop and run it that way. My one question is it any chance that if I turn that into a Linux computer that there would be drivers?
That's a very good question. What you need to do is look for the, it's very likely, but you need to look for drivers for that specific model of plotter.
And where would I look for that?
Well, just Google, put in the model of your plotter, like, you know,
okay.
Fred 1234, whoever the manufacturer
right.
is in the number, and follow that by the words Linux drivers.
Okay.
And see what comes up. It depends. Actually, older is better.
it's old.
So it's very possible that that will happen. Whether or not you could find them for a newer version of Windows or whatever is you know, the same thing. Instead
yeah,
of Linux driver,
Windows.
They don't
seem to be available for anything after XP.
And a GIMP print. They used to be Gutenprint. Now it's GIMP print. You may even find Windows drivers or Mac drivers for that printer because they also do Windows and Mac drivers for older printers that have been abandoned by their
companies. This is really a plotter, but still.
Yeah. And you might find it there as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Nothing cuter than a big old plotter that just magically creates
stuff. GIMP Print has DesignJet drivers, so they do plotters too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It's 39 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the second hour of Soundbites right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Yeah, you like that honky-tonk jazz.
You got it.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
And we will not dance in our underwear.
Speak for yourself.
On camera.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
We're not Tom Cruise.
Speak for yourself.
Oh,
I'm taller than Tom Cruise.
Radio.
All right. On Tuesday, Apple refreshed the MacBook, switching to Intel's 6th generation Skylake processor architecture for a slightly longer battery life. The new MacBook is priced starting at $1,300, the same as the initial model introduced more than a year ago. With the new graphics chipset, Intel's HD Graphics 515, or if you prefer 515, the MacBook boasts a 25% improvement in graphics performance, Apple claimed. The 1.1 GHz Skylake processor's lower power demands should add an hour to the time between charges, up to 10 hours of browsing or 11 hours of video playback. Now you're in Chromebook range. Yeah. Very nice. Apple also increased the speed of the flash memory that composed the 256-gigabyte SSD solid-state drive storage from 1600 megahertz to 1886 megahertz. The MacBook is the first Apple notebook to get a processor from Intel's 14-nanometer Skylake line, the successor to 2014's Broadwell. Other laptops, including Microsoft's Surface Book, which debuted last year, preceded Apple's to market using that same chip. The MacBook form factor remains the same, with the system tipping the scale at 2 pounds and taking the tape at a half inch thick. Apple added rose gold, or as we call it, pink, to the previous color choices of gold, silver, and space gray to match the available options for the iPhone and iPad. Most other features stay static as well, including the single USB-C port, the most controversial of Apple's design choices for the MacBook, and the high-resolution 12-inch display that maxes out at 2034 by 1440 pixel resolution. Both iterations of the MacBook, the more expensive option, remains the $1,600 model with a 1.2 GHz CPU and 512 GB of storage, are equipped with 8 GB of RAM. Apple also said it increased the standard RAM of the MacBook Air notebooks to 8 GB. Now nearly ignored by Apple, the 2.4-pound Air has not been refreshed since March of 2015. That's over a year, which for Apple is a long time, and has not changed design since 2006. It remains the only part of Apple's Mac line that lacks a Retina high-resolution display, whether standard or as an option. The new MacBook went on sale Tuesday on Apple's online store early in the day. However, the purchase price was inaccessible, but it's all fine now, and hit its retail chain and some authorized vendors on Wednesday. So are you hot for the new MacBook? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, not adding a second USB-C port was probably the biggest controversy when the internet went crazy.
Yeah.
But it's most people don't plug anything in most of the time. You don't have anything plugged in now, not even power.
Right.
I have a zillion things plugged in.
Right.
In fact, I almost don't have any holes left.
Right.
I don't have any plug-in holes. That's when you get a new computer, is when you run out of plug-ins.
Well, right, but not anymore. Yeah, you only get anymore. One.
Yeah.
Well, even with just one.
You're off.
You want to put your mic on, though?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Even with the one port, you can still get a USB hub and
right.
run it.
And you, that's right, what you have. Right. Yeah. You get it. Yeah. And so you end up getting adapters. And so that's something more to carry with you in your bag, which is annoying. But again,
how, like you just said, though, when you're out, how often is it that you need more than one?
So if you need more ports, this is not the model for you to buy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of that has to do with Apple's mania for thin.
Yeah.
You know,
although, as some of the other articles have pointed out, it's not the thinnest. The Yoga from last year is thinner.
Lenovo Yoga.
And HP's new Spectre is ridiculously thin.
Yeah.
It's not the lightest. It's the thinnest, lightest Mac, but in the Windows world. What we're really hoping is that this Skylake processor doesn't have the problems that the Surface Book did. Microsoft Surface Book had a lot of initial problems with overheating. And processor crashing. Microsoft has come out with a couple of patches for it. As one guy said, 14 nanometers is hard.
Yeah.
Trying to get the chip that small. Mm-hmm. But what's a little frustrating at the beginning is that, as you mentioned, the MacBook Air hasn't been refreshed in a long time. Everyone has been expecting a Retina MacBook Air. And instead, we got this MacBook, and they kept the Air in the product line. Right now, partly, we think, because the price is higher. If they can get the price of the Retina MacBook down, we can see them discontinuing the MacBook Air.
Right.
Because it's a tough sell. I was just working with a customer the other day. You want really thin and really light, you have to pay more than the pretty thin and pretty light of the Air. But then you don't get the Retina screen. So then you have to go to the a little bit heavier MacBook Pro right. to get the Retina screen. We're back to the point where there's too many products in the line. That was one of the big things that Steve Jobs did when he came back to Apple in 98 is he cut out the 50 different models Apple made and cut it down to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the problem. You look at HP, you look at Dell, you know, Lenovo. They make hundreds of models of the same computer with slight differences between them. And that's got to be, you know, hell on manufacturing process.
Right.
And now Apple is almost back in that line again, where they make too many models. It's too hard to decide which one you want, and the subtle differences between them are difficult for the average users to figure out what they want.
Right. Choice is good. Subtle choice is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Vic again from Irondequoit. Vic, what's up?
Just wanted to give you some feedback on that link that Steve put up, that Kindle ebook to PDF. Once I figured out how to open it and everything, it's great. I mean, it makes the comic book the size of my monitor.
Good.
There you go.
It really works good. It took a while for me to figure out how to get it going, but once I did, it was really good. And it keeps the PDF only for 2 hours, according to the directions. Then if you want to do it again, you're going to have to do it all over again. But it's easy to use once you figure it out. And
right.
I mean, Ray Charles can read this right now. It's so big.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of the difference between one of the online converters where you upload it to them and convert it, and then downloading your own converter that you keep locally on your computer.
Right. And let me point out to anybody who's looking at Comixology and want to download their books, there are apps for pretty much every platform and everything, so you can get them on your phone and your tablet and your computer. And you can also, by the way, download some free comics. So you can download the app for free, download a free comic, and see how well it works on your device before you go paying for comics.
Yeah, I did that. Actually, the Comixology site, I went to the free comics, and I got quite a few of them down there, so it's pretty good.
All right, yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Vic.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Yeah, it's...
Let's see. I got to wonder if they know it's me looking at it when I go to the free...
Yeah, clearly.
I get the Jungle Book sale. There's no Tarzan on any of these covers.
Yeah, these are all Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, or something.
That's not the Jane I remember.
But comic books are big. They're back. They're big. They've had the same resurgence that romance novels have had.
Yeah.
Because now people can read them on their devices.
Yeah.
You don't get embarrassed when you're like sitting on a bus or sitting on the subway and somebody looks over and sees you reading a romance novel or a comic book. Now you're just reading your
See the text.
Device. Yeah. No, they just
see the device. Yeah.
You're reading it from
don't
a device.
Don't let them look at the screen, though.
Don't let them look at the screen.
Well,
it may well be that you're reading War and Peace.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, even if they're looking at the text, they don't know... What book
well,
that
yeah,
is.
But the comic
yeah.
book you
oh, yeah, comic book
books,
yeah. but I mean regular
right.
book
for regular a regular book, they can't tell.
I just heard a podcast where a guy was talking about holding a tablet makes you look like you're working versus sitting in front of a desktop. And so contractors and freelancers are finding this out. Just holding the laptop.
The tablet is the new clipboard.
Yeah.
It used to be you could go dang near anywhere if you had a hard hat and a clipboard.
Yep.
Nobody would stop you.
Yeah.
Now it's tablets.
The guy said he had a friend that got fired from a temp job, which is weird, because people complained he was reading Dilbert comics all day long. His job was collating a book of Dilbert comics.
Oh, jeez.
But everyone around him saw him looking at comics all day long and wasting time.
Right.
Well, at our store, we see folks, you know, especially contractors, or even people now, they'll come in with their tablets, and I need this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Boom. You know.
Don't they have a commercial for that too?
Oh yeah. Well, we've got even an app that folks, contractors can sit there and order all this stuff and that, and you know they'll come in
to show up and pick it up.
Yeah, they show you know their app. They'll go shop it around because even if they look up an item, it'll tell them where it is and what aisle and.
So they generate a pick list.
Yeah,
and you're done.
Yeah,
nice.
It's sweet.
Very very nice. Well, that's just you know. People originally looked at things like cell phones, obviously, when not many people had them, tablets when not many people had them, as a luxury item, as isn't that interesting.
Yeah.
But now they are so ubiquitous, they are so much a part of our day, that if you don't have an app and you don't have a way to reach people mobily, you're behind. You're behind the times.
And if you're still using Flash and the front page of your website is a giant empty box.
Well, you lose. That's easy enough. Yeah, that's the way that works. All right, people. That music tells me that sadly or joyously, depending on how you feel about us, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Those who are still waiting on the line, I apologize. You got to call earlier. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and I hope with you. We'll be back at noon next week. Don't go away, though, because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, for me, Nick Francesco. Did I say that already? I just babbled for the last minute. We are Soundbites. We will see you. That's 2 hours. Yeah. Thank you so much. Shut up. We will see you in 166 hours. Have fun.